Hello and welcome to the Heart of Christ Church, all of you out there on internet land. We are here to worship God because we know God is good. And all the time, we also know that God, through our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ, has called us to love God, love others, and go with the gospel. And that is exactly what we do during this time and all time, because the gospel is the reason we are here. So today, I want us to continue in this little mini-series that I've started, and it's called Provision Over Prosperity. This is our second part, and this part is entitled Alignment. Last week, we looked at the third P. We had Provision Over Prosperity, and the first part of it is Perspective. We need to see where we are in all of this. And then we need to move into alignment, because it's from alignment that we can get things right. So today, I want you to turn with me, and I've got to go to the gospel, because I've got to go to what Jesus was speaking. Because if we're going to find out what our alignment is, don't you think we need to ask God what that should be, rather than seeking from ourselves? So let's turn to the book of John. We are going to be in chapter 15. John chapter 15. And we're going to begin in verse 5. Now, I could begin in verse 1 because it's all part of the exact same discourse. But I'm beginning in verse 5 because I want us to see what Jesus is talking about and bring it down a little bit, because I'm going to try to stick to our time so as not to run us too far over because we have our annual meeting today. So, from the fifth verse, chapter 15, in the book of John, we read these words. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up, and they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. To bear much fruit here sounds like prosperity, doesn't it? That's the prosperity that God wants us to see. He wants us to bear fruit. Would everybody agree with that? That is a truth. However, should we be praying for that prosperity? Should we be asking God for the prosperity? Should that be our focus of this verse? And I'm going to say to you, it is not that we pray for fruit, but that it is that we pray for a good and deep root. Okay? A good and deep root. Now, wait a minute. Jesus didn't say anything about a root here, did he? Yes, he did. He just didn't use the word, because you need to pick it up. You see, God's going to give us everything we need, but we have to apply understanding. And the understanding is God is at the center, not us. If we're praying for fruit, we're making the fruit the center. We've got to pray for the root, because who is the root of the vine? From where does all things come, according to this dialogue that Jesus is giving us here? What comes from the vine? Well, where does the vine get all its sustenance? From the root. So we need to understand that as we put ourselves in the proper alignment with God, he tells us, apart from me, you can do nothing. So you take the branch, which is you, and you put it in a vial of water, and you ask for fruit. Do you think you're going to get fruit? You may barely grow. Roses. How many of you understand roses? Roses are a very delicate thing. If you take a rose and you cut the stem and you let it in the air, for any length of time before you put it in water, what's going to happen to that rose? It's going to die. Why? Because a rose, the capillaries in a rose stem will harden right away. They'll close off and it will draw no water. It will draw absolutely no water. And the flower will die. If you want to keep a rose for any length of time, you have to literally cut the stem underwater, keep that drop on the bottom of that stem before you put it in another container. As soon as it hits air, it cauterizes. It cauterizes and hardens the veins that lead up. As soon as we are separated from God, the very same thing happens to us. When we begin to pray for fruit, not looking to the provision, when we start looking to the prosperity, we have just cut ourselves off from God, who is supposed to be at the center. Do you see why we started with that video this morning? Because it all plays part and parcel to getting into the proper alignment. You and I must be aligned with God in the fullness of who He is, because the root is relationship, and relationship is alignment. Please understand that. If we do not have a relationship with the Son and with the Father, because remember, the relationship to the Father comes through the Son, we can't make it to God without the Son. Can I get an amen? That's where we get engrafted. We get engrafted into the Son. We don't get engrafted into the root. We get engrafted into the vine. So today, I want you to look at what the Scriptures has to say. Keep a finger there, because we're coming back to the book of John. So I'm going to pull my little bookie mark thing out, put it there. And now we're going to go to the book of Luke. We're going to go to the book of Luke. And we're going to be in verse 13, or chapter 13, verse 13, oh my. Chapter 13. And I'm only going to read three verses, 6, 7, and 8. 6, 7, and 8. Because we need to understand this precept. We need to understand what Jesus is trying to say to us here. And we're going to go back to that. But right now, I need you to fix your eyes on the root of the problem. Because it's an alignment problem. When we are praying for that prosperity, when we are praying for fruit, we are not praying right. We are not focusing our lives right. We are not aligning with God. Because we need to remember one thing. God promises us provision. He does not promise us prosperity. Prosperity is our working things out with the Holy Spirit in the proper context of God, in alignment with God. From the sixth verse. A man had a fig tree which he had planted in his vineyard, and he came looking for fruit on it and did not find any. And he said to the vineyard keeper, "Behold, for 3 years I have come looking for fruit on this fig tree without finding any. Cut it down. Why does it use up the ground?" And he answered and said to him, "Let it alone, sir, for this year too, until I dig around it and put in fertilizer. And if it bears fruit next year, fine. But if not, cut it down." What's being spoken of here? What is being spoken of here is exactly you and I. Many times we come into this relationship with God because we have a real sense of earnesty that you know, I need salvation, I want to be saved. And then we begin living our lives and we see all the things out there in the world and we become enamored by these very things. And we begin looking for the fruit rather than the root. And if the root's not taken care of, there'll be no fruit. I don't care how hard you work at it. If there is no root, there will be no fruit. The branch is going to die. The vine will never die, but the branch will die. God will simply prune the branch off of the vine. We need to understand that concept. But the vine keeper is Jesus. And what does Jesus say? "Yeah, go ahead, Dad. Let's lop that thing off." No, the vine keeper says, "No, no, no. Let me dig it up. Let me fertilize it. Let me reestablish the root and get it healthy, and then let's see what happens." And that's where you and I need to begin that work. You know, a lot of us have been planted in an ideology of what we think Christianity is supposed to be. How many of you have potted plants at home? One of the things that, you know, I love about potted plants is they'll grow and they can continue to grow and they get bigger and bigger and better, right? But what happens once a plant gets so big in a small pot? It begins to die. Why? Because it becomes root bound. It has used up all the soil. There's no longer any soil in that pot. Have you ever noticed that? Where did the dirt go? The pot didn't get any bigger, but the dirt's gone. There's all this root there because it was used up. Notice what God says here. Why should it use up the ground? In other words, the provision. What is the ground? It is the provision of God unto each and every one of us. That is the good soil that we are planted in. We must be planted in this good soil, and we must use it up. But I'm going to tell you right now, if we are truly planted in God, we cannot use up that good soil. It is eternal soil. It will last forever. And however many millions, billions live on it, it will never, ever let us down. We have to dig at that root. We have got to repot ourselves. If you have ideologies that you know, hey, you know, it's all about me, it's about what I want, and God's got to come alongside of me, you're in the wrong pot. You're root bound, and you will die. And that's a spiritual reality. And we all need to understand, we need to get planted into the good soil. We need to come out of that pot of selfishness and into the bounty of the Lord's provision. And in recognizing that, getting ourselves aligned properly, which is going to mean, and I hate to tell you this, have any of you ever transferred a plant out of a pot that has been root bound? What do you have to do to that root? Yeah, one guy's over there like this. The other guy's, you got to hack at it. You have got to break that root ball up to get it to spread out. Otherwise, it is so tightly knit, it's still going to die. God needs us to spread out. God needs us to widen our horizons in Him, that He is the center of all things. When we become the center of everything, we turn inward and we become root bound, and we will die. We need to be in proper alignment with our Lord and with our God. So does God really say that we need to look at the alignment and then the fruit will come? Let's go back to the book of John. Again, remember, he didn't say anything. Here he says, let it rest for a year and then come back, right? Well, let's go back. Let's go back to John. And let's reread what we've already read, but then we're going to continue on. Because there's the rest of this is a Paul Harvey sermon, the rest of the story. From verse 5, once again, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up. And they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. Right there is the very proof of what I have just said to you. If we abide in Christ, if we abide in the vine, which is steadfast in the root, we are going to grow and we are going to produce fruit. You cannot help but produce fruit. When you are looking to the provision of God, getting the alignment right, you will bear fruit. For what purpose? Let's read on. Just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be made full. This is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you slaves, for the slave does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you, that you would go and bear fruit, and that your fruit would remain, so that whatever you ask of the Father in my name, it may be given to you. This is my command to you, that you love one another. Brothers and sisters, when I look at that, I have to say to myself one thing. Do you realize what Jesus just told us there? There's one point here, and we all read it, and everybody's mind went right past it. Did he not tell us in the book of John that he was to dig it up and fertilize it? What do we use as fertilizer? Dead organic material. Can I get an amen on that? I mean, is that right? Dead organic material. Catch this. Greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. What did Jesus just say? I am the fertilizer. I am the one who has laid his life down. I am that organic matter, that spiritual organic matter that is there to nourish your roots, the roots of your salvation. We cannot go anywhere without him. He is that nourishment. Without his death, burial, and resurrection, none of us will make it. You and I need to understand. Jesus right here is telling us he's going to dig it up. Did they not put him in a tomb? In the ground. And in the ground, he went into Hades, which is even lower. And from there, he rose from the dead. Does that not sound like a seed being planted in the ground and then coming up in life? And then we are grafted into that life. Do you see the picture that Jesus is painting here for us? And as we remain in his word, as we love him and abide in his commands, as God himself, Jesus, abided in the commands of the Father, so too then we will live and we will see much fruit. Now Jesus died. How can he bear fruit? He doesn't bear fruit. He bears fruit through us. Please remember, the scriptures in Hebrews says, for the joy that set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame. What was the joy that he saw before him? Each and every one of us being engrafted. But then, the fruit that each and every one of us would bring in his name. It's his fruit. Because he is the one that ties us to the root. He is the one that brings us into that full relationship with God. He is the one who brings the provision which can lead to prosperity if each and every one of us are willing and able to walk in that truth. We're going to be looking here next week, because next week we're finishing this little mini-series. We're going to be looking next week at two prayers that were prayed and how God answered them. And it's amazing to me, because when we pray these prayers, I mean, there have been books written about this. And when we pray these prayers, I want you to understand that the reality is God is the one who's at the center. We may put out the words, but we better be in proper alignment, and we better understand the perspective that everything comes in. Otherwise, the interpretation of the scriptures that we read are not going to be anywhere near correct. That's basic hermeneutics. Okay, we have to get the historical, grammatical, rhetorical, and theological aspects of our word correct, or we are going to be led astray. And the church, there's many people in the church, many pastors out there. Sow your seed into this ministry, and God will manifest it 100-fold. Folks, that's the wrong reason. God says, ask anything in my name. What does that mean? That does not mean speaking the blessing of Jesus over what you do. That means what you do is as Jesus would do. In his name means that you are acting as he would act, doing and being as he would be. If you are planting seed to grow fruit rather than to receive a good root, don't look for either one to happen. Because I'll guarantee you, I know who's getting rich. And it's the man standing at the pulpit telling you to put the money into the ministry. Now, that's a pretty harsh thing for a pastor to say. Well, you're just jealous because he's making more money than you. Nope. Because it ain't about money for me, brothers and sisters. It's about you. It is about you, your eternal position in Jesus Christ. You see, I'm storing up treasures in heaven where moth and rust doth not destroy. I'm not worried about the stuff here. I've got enough for here. God has given me the provision that I need for here, and I have a wonderful wife who will kick my butt if I don't stick to it. And that's how every one of us is supposed to live. Now, does that mean God doesn't bless some people more? No, he does. But to those he blesses more, he expects more. Can I get an amen out of that one? And we need to understand these principles because it comes to looking at things with a proper perspective, gaining an alignment to God that is right and righteous, that he is first, he is the center, his desires matter. We are simply a branch on the vine that is set for a purpose. And whatever that purpose is, he gets to determine. Now, one of the things that I think is so amazing about this is people will come to me, and I've had people say to me, oh, but Pastor, I just don't understand. I've done everything. You know, I've deprived myself of this, and I've deprived myself of that. You know, and yet it just seems like nothing's happening. Well, I don't care how much you prune yourself. That's self-mutilation. God doesn't want you to prune yourself. God wants you to work with him. He is the vine dresser, okay? He is the vine dresser. Don't do things out of false humiliation. You know, I speak to people all the time. You know, they tell me how modest they are, how humble they are. I love those folks. I just shake my head and smile and walk away. Because the proof is in the pudding. It's not in the words. But a truly humble man walks the walk and talks the talk. And I think it's amazing because this week I got to officiate at a service where one such man was celebrated. There was not a tear in the house. For those of you who weren't there, and God bless you, you would not have believed there was not a tear in the house. Because nobody was wailing and weeping. We all understood that it is appointed unto man to die once, and then to judgment. But for those of us who are in Christ Jesus, it is not the judgment of salvation, it is the judgment of works. And to that judgment we receive blessing. And that's where this brother went. He walked humbly, and he carried a big book. And that book was the Bible. He walked the walk and he talked the talk. And all of us who knew him know it to be truth. Was he perfect? No, absolutely not. Because does God expect you to be perfect? No, that's why Jesus had to come, because there's only one who is perfect, and that's God. But we need to depend upon him who is able. And from him, he is able to engraft each and every one of us a wild olive branch into that olive tree and grow from it the fruit of salvation, which is unto the world. And that's what we're going to be looking at when we get together next week. Just looking at these prayers and how proper perspective and alignment will bring about a growth that is exponential in your life, but it may not make your wallet fat, but it will make your life full. And that is something that you and I need to understand. God has said to us, I have come to give them life and life abundantly. God didn't say he came to put money in your bank account. He didn't say he came to make you wealthy. He said he came to give you life and life abundantly. What does that mean? We're going to look at that next week. We're going to find out just what that means. But you and I have to be in the proper alignment. How many of us right now need to understand that we need to be in that alignment, in alignment with God? My last point is this. You and I need to stop getting upset with people in the church. I am so tired of hearing people say, well, so-and-so hurt my feelings. And? Like, you haven't hurt anybody's feelings ever in life? But you don't understand. The church has really hurt me. Well, I'm going to tell you right now. There's a reason the church has hurt you. The church is filled with hurtful people. The church is filled with people who are hurt, who are broken. Can I get an amen? We are not here for the church to make us feel good. We are here to meet God and reestablish that root that we may grow, I may grow in the fullness of Christ. Now, there are other brothers and sisters that are here that are going to help me work it out. And if somebody upsets you and hurts your feelings, maybe you need to work on that. Do you ever think that that might be what God's trying to do? Get you to stop being emotionally dependent upon people and be spiritually dependent upon Him. To grow in wisdom and maturity. There is nowhere in the Scripture that it tells us that the church is going to save you. In fact, if you've ever read the epistles, what are the epistles? That is every book outside of the Gospels that was written to one of the other churches. Okay? How many of you have ever read the epistles? What are the epistles full of? Problems that the church was going through. I think it's funny. This book in the New Testament, 2/3 of the New Testament is not about finding salvation. It's about working through salvation. It deals with people who are prognosticators, you know, those who would look upon evil spirits. It talks about those who have fallen into adulterous sin. It talks about all these people that are messed up, which is called the what? What's it called? The church. And we got to get in proper alignment. We got to get stuck into that root. We've got to dig up that foundation. And we have got to fertilize it with the love of God through Christ Jesus. And we will grow. So when you see a brother or sister whose pot is still too small, we need to help them get out of that pot and into a bigger one. Can I get an amen? People. It's not about people in your church looking to your relationship. It is about you getting aligned with God and allowing God to use you to help other people. Now, are some of those people going to be screwed up? You better look in the mirror before you answer that question. I have to every day. I got up this morning knowing I was going to preach this word, and I looked at myself and I said, Pastor, you are a mess. And those people call you pastor. I said, yes, they do. But may I always remind them that I may be a pastor because you've called me to do it, Lord. I'm not capable of it. You're capable of it. But I have to be vulnerable enough in my life to say these things, to live these things in front of every one of them. Because I'm a screwed up guy. Ask that lady who married me. Now, don't tell them secrets, but because, folks, we are going to hurt each other every now and then. On purpose? Unfortunately, sometimes, because we get stupid. How many of you have gotten stupid yet? I got husbands and wives looking at each other like, he's talking to you. No, if you just said that, I'm talking to you. We all do. That's where grace comes in. Each and every one of us need to remember, God gave us grace over our stupid. We need to give grace over other people's stupid. Remember, there's one thing we cannot cure in life. What is the one thing we cannot cure in life? Stupid. But guess who can? Jesus Christ. Because he will dig it up, he will tear at those roots, and he will make it grow. And some of the ways he tears at the roots is through other people, through the circumstances of life. Can I get an amen? But we've got to make sure we're in proper alignment. So if you're here or you're out there and you're out there because, well, people in the church have hurt me, and you haven't hurt anybody in your lifetime. It's called grace. It's called forgiveness. And number one, if you're not willing to walk in forgiveness, remember, we pray the Lord's Prayer all the time. Let us forgive our debts as we forgive our debtors. And if you continue reading where that is in the Scripture, it says, if you do not forgive, so too your sins will not be forgiven you. Can I get an amen, church? We need to remember, alignment equals relationship. Relationship equals growth, which comes to fruit. Because relationship is the provision. We've got to get to the provider. The church is not your provider. We are in this thing together. And I hate to say this, but how many of you have plants out there in your homes? And you know, if you've got a great big tree in your yard and you plant something under it, how well does it grow unless it's a shade-loving plant? Not so well, does it? So we come into the church and we get planted around all these giants of the faith, right? And we wonder why we're not growing. Because you're not in the sunshine, you're not working in the relationship of the light of Christ yourself. You're depending upon those other people who are just sucking it all up because they've got their hands up to the Lord and their roots are deep. Move yourself into the sunlight and get that nourishment from the good soil and grow as God would have you grow. We grow around one another, but if we get too crowded, what begins to happen? We begin to turn inward, and that's exactly what happens in so many churches. Churches turn inward, and they become poisonous. We have got to be outward focused. If we are just inwardly focused, we are going to hurt ourselves. Again, it comes to having that proper alignment. God must be at the center of all things. To that, I give you this word, that if you and I will allow Christ to show us, to lead us, to guide us, to love us, we will prosper. But that prosperity is going to come as He sees us fit to receive it. Okay? What happens to a plant if it bears too much fruit? Have any of you ever had peach trees? I grew peaches for years on our farm. And the one year I didn't pick any of the peaches off, and it became so proliferated with peaches that my branches literally broke. Not only did I lose the peaches, I lost the tree because of my greediness. I saw all that fruit and thought, oh, I can make this work. I'll just put supports under the limb. And we got a windstorm, knocked out those supports, and took every limb off that tree except one or two in the center. And that tree did not make it through the winter. Please understand, God is not going to allow you to produce so much as to hurt yourself. We've got to be able to support the fruit that God is bringing. And that's what prosperity looks like. You and I need to understand our lives will see prosperity, but it may not be the amount nor the whereof which you would have, but will it be what God has? And the answer to that question is if we are in proper alignment and we have the proper perspective, provision first, prosperity is something we work with God toward, we will see the latter. But not without the former. Let us pray. Father God, as we continue into this sermon series next week, I pray that you would allow each and every one of us to investigate the word that was given to us today. Am I in proper alignment? Am I root bound? do I need to be dug up? My roots ripped out and replanted in the good soil. Because that is one of the greatest examinations that every Christian must go under. So let us not forget, but let us remember that you, Lord Jesus, have given your all that we would be able to do these little things so that we may grow. And in that growth, recognizing you as the one who causes it to happen. And as we grow, that we may reach out and ask for whatever we wish in your name, and it will come to us. But Lord God, it's going to come as you so graciously choose. May it come full and complete in the name of Christ, who is our Lord. And the church says, and amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can find us on the web at www.theheartofchristchurch.com. If you have found benefit in listening to this message, you can send us an email from our contact page, or if you would like to donate or write to us, do so at P.O. Box 1011, Quentin, PA 17083.